ladies and gentlemen, it's the R.E. Show. We do so hope that one and all you'll join us in this 30-minute close-up of the way we live to find just some of the fun we've missed. Yes, looking at life and turning it into laughter, here's our each.
She says, as good as you says, anyhow, that run the Fright Monk Tute went Thursday night, I know, because our Frank had been with her, Tom, at our Walters. So, oh, no, before that, I should have told you that Fred had been down. He'd had one or two, you could see that. He says, what's this about our Eunice? She jumped straight up and walked out. I thought, right, monkey. Oh, do forgive me, we don't seem to be able to do without that, do we? Mind you, there are so many things in life we can't do without. For one thing, we wouldn't get very far without teeth. Good teeth are worth taking care of, and at the first twinge of pain, we should all know how to deal with the trouble, to remain cool, calm, and collected. But do we? Let one start to ache in the middle of the night, and what do you get? The wife from the bedroom. Wardance, why, what? I know you've got a bad tooth, but you'll not perish. Like a big soft kid at times, and stop beating your head on that bedstead. That's the third night running we've had this pantomime. Well, I'm worn out with it. I thought we could get a decent night's sleep, I'd willingly have two of mine out. And see, if you're going to keep stuffing that sheet in your mouth, use your arse. Well, it eases it. I've no patience with you. You'll do anything but have it out. Just look at this bed. It's full of bits of cotton wool soaked in vinegar. You see, last night, I begged and prayed of you not to have that treacle toffee. Then at 3:15 in the morning, you're clamoring for a hot water bottle and a scarf. I knock them up next door to borrow a match, and when I get upstairs, I'm greeted with, "Don't come near me, it's stopped." Well, it comes in spasms. I've got to live with that tooth. I'll drag you down to the dentist tomorrow morning. Just about fed up with you and your tricks. Somebody tells you to try swilling your mouth out with whiskey, and by the time you've got it numb, you're halfway through the second bottle. Well, I couldn't feel it for 2 days. You couldn't feel anything. Well, my opinion, you're frightened to death of going near that dentist. Not at all. Oh, yes, you are. All you men, you're all alike. You're all soft, a lot of you. See, if you had one half to go... Now, that's enough. Only let him have a look at it. He'd put that tooth right in tune. Have you finished? Not fair that I should go without sleep. Have you done? I have one more night like this, I'll all get back in bed. Make you sick. Mind you, the wife's right. We do put these things off. And what is there to be frightened about? Going to see a dentist. Nowadays, the gentle understanding that exists between dentist and patient makes a visit something to look forward to. By the time you've walked past the door a couple of times, climbed the steps, taken a few deep breaths and plucked up courage to ring the bell, you begin to wish you'd never been talked into it. And the cheerful Charlie you find sitting in the waiting room doesn't help. You've met him.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Are you having any out?
No, I only came to be examined.
I shouldn't depend on it. The fella before me had three out, and he only came to read the gas meter. There's one in there now going through it. I say there's one in there having a rough passage.
Why, can't he get it out?
Get it out? You can't even get him in the chair. It's been murder in there, hasn't it, Florrie? She'll tell you. He's pleaded with him, he's threatened him, he's tried all sorts. Well, she's been terrified. If I hadn't kept singing I'll Walk Beside You to keep her mind off it, she'd have been over. Well, you've heard nothing like it. They've been scuffling round trying to get the needle in him for 3/4 of an hour. Of course, I feel sorry for his missus.
Why, is she in with him?
Oh, she's gone to find a policeman. I'll bet you're suffering.
Fun?
I say, I bet that's giving you some jip.
Well, no, as a matter of fact, I... Just at the moment, I can't feed it.
You will do. He has a nasty habit of breaking it off and leaving half in. Not the proper dentist, you know.
Oh.
He's having a tooth out.
Well, as long as he can... Just give me a quick check.
Quick check? That's a good one. I say, that's a good one. Hear that, Florrie? You'll be lucky if you come out with your gums.
Well, I heard he was very obliging.
Ah, he is. That's where you've got to watch him. If you want one filling, he can't find the hole, he'll make one. Well, she'll tell you, won't you, Florrie? He filled 2 of hers. I don't know what he filled them with, but every time she swallows, she gets a mouthful of chalk. Well, that's not right, you know. I said, that's not done.
Well, if he could just stop mine from aching.
We'll ask him to kill the nerve.
Well, do you think he could find it?
Can't keep him off it. And he'll show you no mercy,
won't he?
He's a bad un. And watch him with that drill. He only drilled one for me. And when I complained he was going too fast, he had me working the foot treadle.
Well, I don't know what to do now. If he takes again tonight, my wife's going to throw me out of the bedroom window.
Good idea. And when she does... Tell her to hang on to the tooth and you'll both be happy.
One hand, 2 hands, 3 hands, 4. And what a great pleasure for me to have on the program those brilliant keyboard personalities, Ravitch and Landau.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. That was really wonderful. And as you know, whenever we have Mr. Ravitch and Mr. Landau with us in the show, we always like to get to know them a little better. And once again, because they're too modest to speak to us in English, they've very kindly brought along their bodyguard, who also acts as interpreter, so that we can ask a few questions.
Come back, Colonel. Come back, Colonel.
Come back, Al.
Lay not a finger on those pianos. Now, out of my way. Who do you think you are, Al Reed? Oh, blimey, it is Al Reed. Oh, I know.
Well, Arthur Askey, I didn't know you were working for Ravitch and Landauer.
Oh, you know me, anything for a gag. This is a gag, isn't it? Well, now, come on, we've not got much time, Al. What do you want to know about these two lads of mine?
Well, I'm sure listeners would like to know which is Mr. Ravitch and which is Mr. Landauer. Could you get them to identify themselves?
Certainly. Per mio godo scherma gari alla dottoria, per quando mai la torre come taia.
They
said, would you mind rephrasing the question?
Not at all. Which is Mr. Landauer and which is Mr. Ravitch? I'd like to say thank you very much to Mr. Ravitch and Mr. Landauer for their wonderful music.
Well, it's a great pleasure, Mr. Reed. But Arthur, before you go, wouldn't you like to say a few words to Mr. Reed?
And thank you very much, Arthur, for bringing that big heart of yours into my little show. Thanks very much. You know, having Arthur pop up like this reminds me, I went to see his wonderful show at Blackpool the other week, and as I was getting my tickets at the box office, a little boy just in front of me was going in with his father. And, you know, from that moment on until the curtain went up, we didn't have a minute's peace.
Who's that man with the gold braid on his cap? Why don't you answer? Is he an admiral, Dad? Is he, Dad? Dad? Hasn't he got his tummy low down, Dad? Dad? If he's an admiral, has it gone down with his ship? What does he do, Dad? Tells people where to go, does he, Dad? Dad, does he tell people where to go? Oh, look, he's shouting right down that lady's ear. Is he telling her where to go? Hey, Dad, is he, Dad? Oh, look, I think she's going. Why are we sitting here, Dad? Why can't we sit at the front? Is this seat broken, Dad? See, watch, when I pull it down, it whizzes back. Can I have a whiz with yours, Dad? Oh, you sat on the floor, haven't you, Dad? Well, I didn't know you'd be sitting down, did I, Dad? See, there's Mrs. Smith. She can't find a seat. There's one over there. Oh, look, she's racing that old man for it. She'll get it. She will. She won't. She will. She will. Hey, that's not fair, is it, Dad? She stripped him up. Hello, Mrs. Smith. Where's your other face? Oh, yes, she has another face, Dad. I know, because I heard me tell my mother yesterday that Mrs. Smith was two-faced. What do you keep telling me to watch for? Oh, look, Dad, there's Billy Kennedy. He goes to our school. Billy, I know you don't, Dad. What do you keep telling me to shut up for, Dad? I know him, Dad. He wants me to go and sit over there. He's got a pea shooter. Hello, Billy. Miss me. What's up, Dad? Did it hurt? Oh, Dad, there's a fly on that man's bald head. Can I waft it with me cap? Oh, Dad, there's another little fly. Who made little flies, Dad? I shouldn't like that job. It's such a fiddling little job, isn't it, Dad? Would you like to go to heaven, little fly? You've gone. This isn't my suit. It's our arrows. He came last time. Those aren't my dad's trousers, either. Oh, Dad, don't tell your big lies. They're not. You know very well my mother cut yours up to make our feet repair. Those are my Uncle Walter's. Hey, Dad, I can't see. Will you ask that lady to take her hat off, will you, Dad? Hey, Dad, will you ask her to take her hat off? Dad, will you? Hey, Dad, did you see the look she gave you? And I only just pinched her.
I'd like you to meet a young man who has made himself famous as a singing star. Ladies and gentlemen, meet David Hughes.
Here we all work, come from Mississippi. Here we all work while the white folk play. Pulling them boats from the dawn till sunset. Getting no rest till the judgment day. Don't look up and don't look down, you don't just make the white bus run. Bend your knee and bow your head and pull that rope until you're dead. Let me go away from the Mississippi. Let me go away from the white man boys. Show me that stream called the River Jordan. That's the one stream that I long to cross. Old Man River, that old man river, he must know something. But he don't say nothing, he just keeps rolling. He keeps on rolling along. He don't plant cotton, and them that plants are missing forgotten. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, bodies are aching and ripe with pain. Tote that barge, you lift that pail, you get a little drunk, and you lands in. I get weary and I'm sick. Sick of trying, I'm tired of living. But fear not, I'm. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along. Old man River, that old man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, keeps on a rolling along. Now he don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton. Them that plants him is soon forgotten. That old man River, he just keeps a rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, bodies all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that pail, you get a little drunk. And your land's in dread. I get weary and I'm sick, sick of trying. I'm tired of living, but feel a dying. But old man River, he just keeps running.
Thank you, David. It was kind of you to come along. But don't run away, because we're all going to have a lot of fun. So stand by, everybody, because here and now we're taking the lid off housing. Housing has been a vital problem since the very earliest days of time. Even in primitive times, man had to have a roof over his head. And in those days, there was always a struggle to get the best place to live in. Let's take a typical everyday man-wife scene from those dark ages.
Will you stop sharpening your flint and get after that cave to let before anybody else gets it?
That's the wife from the crevice. Cave to let? Why? I'm getting sick and fed up with it. You get sat down on that easy rock and there's no shift in you. And you'll have to do something about that draft coming under from that front boulder. Our boat of sea is full of a cold again. Well, she wants another coat of wool. You see, it was that beautiful three crevice cave in the new slab the other week. Going for a wall chant. I got you to look over it, and all I could get out of you was, I'd like something nearer to Stonehenge. Well, I'm thinking of my bare feet. What we weren't going to have the day you pulled me across the threshold by my hair. Rhinoceros rugs and inlaid fossils and goodness knows what. And what have we got? Three hanging skulls and a cave full of stalagmites.
But of course, that was years ago. Today, how different today. Today, houses for all are built in thousands by local corporations everywhere, which you can rent and walk into merely by putting your name down.
Applications are dealt with in strict rotation at the town hall, where an efficient organization is ready to meet your needs.
You don't put your name down for house, are you?
Yes.
You've got some hopes. I say, you've got some hopes. I've had mine down since 1945, and they're trying to get me out of the one I'm already in. Have you got priority?
No. I didn't think you needed any.
Don't kid yourself. You've got to have 15 kids and an old age pension, and then they'll only give you a permit for a bell tent.
Of course, there is a shorter cut to getting a house than this.
But of course, it's not much better for the man who's having a house built to his own specifications. He is entirely in the hands of the builder. Naturally, any hold-up becomes a headache, and especially if he's waiting to move into it. Let's go over to that busy scene of activity and see what progress is being made.
Any more tea in that jug?
Hey, no. We've sat here long enough. We've all that mortar to move yet.
You please yourself. I'm not doing another stroke till that joiner starts. When he knocks a nail in, I'll lay a brick. Give her the light.
Hey, no, we'll have to be shaping. We've been here 3 months and we've not up to the first floor.
Well, don't panic. We'll clap the roof on if he says anything. I'll swear blind he ordered a bungalow.
Mind you, this is all very well, but just wait until you try to sell yours. Not just a question of putting a notice in the paper that it's for sale. And it doesn't take long to realize that you've got it wrapped round your neck. And not only that, you've got to suffer the people who come to look round and tramp up and down your house at any hour of the night or day. Have you had some?
You have not sold it, have you? I'm not surprised. I bet nobody can find you. We've had a right job. We've had to catch four buses to get here. Is that right, Dad? Well, I'd better introduce you. This is my wife and the mother. This is Dad. Not much you don't know about property, is it, Dad? Well, come on, let's get started. See what sort of a place you've got. Not much light in this hall, have you? Hello, is this your dining room? These are little rooms, aren't they? Get our sideboard in here and there'd be no room for the table. Is that right, Dad? What sort of a kitchen have you? Hello, who's having stew? He wouldn't say no to a plateful of that. Is that right, Dad? Hey, these stairs won't take much weight either. And look where that ceiling comes to. Come downstairs quick and you get your head knocked off. Hello, what's in here? Just a minute. You want to get a lock on there, is that right, Dad? And so it goes on.
We mustn't forget the newly married couples whose only chance is to share a home with their parents. And what an ordeal it can be for the prospective son-in-law when he comes face to face with the girl's father to ask permission.
Southern, Mr. I suppose you can guess what I've come for. Only, I suppose five will seem rather a lot in one bedroom. Only, I mean, if it came to the pinch, I could always sleep with you. Or put it another way around, I mean, we have got our own kettle. Oh, look at it my way, I mean, you could always borrow my bike. Only, look at it another way around, I mean, we put the bands up. Shall we not bother?
But mind you, it's all right for the young couple. But what about the father? After a month or two, his patience wears thin, and he has to speak his mind.
Mother, if he's not out of that bathroom in 2 minutes, he'll find his bed in the street.
Hush, dear, he'll hear you.
Do him good. Don't like him, never have done. And don't shush me. I don't see why we need to put up with it. Him trailing through our bedroom every time he wants to clean his teeth. And see, Mother, if he hasn't got a dressing gown, for the love of Mike, knit him one.
Now, don't let him upset you.
Never even tried to find a house. And doesn't intend to. Standing with his back to that fire, airing his knowledge. He's using every peg there is in the Olsen. He's got his jive records scattered all over the front room. I can't get in the bathroom for his air cream. He only needs possession of the coal shed, and he'll be serving me with a notice to quit.
Such is life, life is what you make it. Such is life, show them you can take it on the chin with a grin. When Mr. Groom comes around, don't let him in.
Remember, life's that way. Today you're feeling happy, but tomorrow joy may turn to strife. One thing I found out, there's nothing you can do about it.
Such is life.
For the past 30 minutes, we've been looking at life through the pages of the Al Reed Show. Al asked us to say how nice it's been sharing the fun with the Cordites, Willem Towsky, and the Augmented Northern Variety Orchestra, and to thank Revitch and Landau, David Hughes, and Arthur Astley for coming along and making it all worthwhile. The program, which was recorded, was produced in the north of England by Ronnie Taylor.